My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station. It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
Get that guy a 5-hour energy. Let's go.
Here we go. Monday. New York City, what is up? Bill Ford, Tubbs Studio, the Boomer and Geo program. G is out one more day. We'll return tomorrow at Jets Camp. We head to Florham Park. But until 10 o'clock, you've got myself and the man, the myth, the legend, Boomer Esiason. And back from vacation, he's going to be shot out of a cannon. He's got a lot to get off his chest. We had a Craig Carton, Susan Waldman weekend at Yankee Stadium, which could not have started better with a rainout Friday and the doubleheader on Saturday. We had a dud, and I mean a giant dud of a weekend from the Mets. We've got some football to get to and a whole lot more on you at 888-808-1019. It is good to see you back, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Jerry. It was a great trip out to Sand Valley, Wisconsin, a golf mecca, if you will, that is part of the Cabot family of golf courses. And it was a tremendous, tremendous trip. And I would recommend it to any golfer out there. It is reasonable, by the way. The prices there were very reasonable. I was shocked, actually, when we sat down to dinner and we had a few beers and, you know, you do the whole golfing man thing, you know, and it was an amazing, amazing trip. They have a golf course out there called the Lido. I'm actually wearing one of their pullovers right now. And the Lido is a recreation of the golf course, Lido Golf Course here in Long Island. Mm. That was basically commandeered by the Navy back in 1944, and it never came back. And they recreated this golf course in the middle of these Wisconsin sand dunes. And I have to say, it was one of the most enjoyable rounds of golf I have ever played in my life.
Nice.
And so they have, five golf courses out there, including a par 3
All in the
one
complex?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. And they're building 7 more. It is amazing. And the accommodations were spectacular. You know, I stayed in a golf villa with 3 other guys, and that was great. But they have all these individual golf villas and everything else out there. The food was wonderful. The people couldn't have been any nicer. You know, it's Wisconsin people.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be nice. And I have to a big thank you to Derek, the PGA Tour pro out there, who basically built the scoreboard for us. We were doing a Ryder Cup deal, and it couldn't have been any better. I couldn't have been any happier or more fulfilled.
What's the travel like getting out there?
Well, you know, there's 2 ways. If you go private, you can, you know, whack it up 12 different ways, and you can fly to Alexander Field, which is about 10 to 18 miles away.
Right.
If you fly commercial, like a bunch of my friends did, they did fly into Milwaukee, and then it's about a 2-hour and 20-minute drive.
That's not terrible.
It's not terrible, and it's well worth it. The golf courses are tremendous. The whole, like, you can't believe that you're in the middle of Wisconsin, because we here don't think of Wisconsin like that. And I don't know what really we think. We think of Green Bay, I guess. I think we think of the Brewers. So it is just a, for all you golfers out there, if you can actually get a tee time there, good luck.
Is that something like a year in advance reserving this thing?
It is. Bandon Dunes, same group. Yep. And Cabot up in Nova Scotia, and then they're also building a Cabot down in Florida. So it was a tremendous golf trip. And what made it even better was I was Team USA, and Wally Szczerbiak was Team Croatia, and we won 23-19.
Good for you.
And I got Wally Cash in my pocket.
It seems like that's a common theme, Wally Cash.
100% it is. But he was great, and all the guys he traveled with were fantastic. So it was just one of those great, great trips. And like I said, I would recommend it to anybody. And by the way, you know, I'm on the road, and I'm watching these Met and Yankee games. And I, you know, the Mets have turned into the Mets of the early part of the season now, all of a sudden.
The Mets are a very bizarre team. I can't figure this team out.
They can't be good team. And we knew this was going to be a tough trip. We all said it was going to be a tough trip. And now they split with Colorado. They hit home runs there. Everybody hits home runs there.
They had some clutch hits, too, in the finale. I mean, it wasn't all about the home
runs. But what we saw yesterday and what we saw this weekend against a really good team.
They were scored 22-1.
They were overrun. They were just absolutely flattened.
Outmatched.
And I think when I watch them at this point now, and they're right in the middle of it. They could still, you know, be a part of it. They can be a part of the playoffs, which is a good thing. And I know that there are some fans out there that, you know, feel that they should have sold as opposed to brought in guys.
The guys that
they've had haven't really done much. But the real issue for me, anyway, is while their bullpen is still not very good, I mean, Pete Alonso's losing money by the day.
We know.
And
he did have the one big day, though, to be fair, in Colorado, and had the home run the Friday night in Anaheim. But you are correct in what you're saying.
He's just not coming up. Like, he has to carry this team. You know how Aaron Judge can carry a team? You know how Juan Soto can carry a team? Guys up in that stratosphere can carry teams. And I would say that Francisco Lindor has kind of been doing that for the Mets. He's had a tremendous season. But I don't know what's going on with Pete. And I was watching two different broadcasts last night. So I watched the MLB broadcast a little bit, which is just...
On ESPN, you mean?
No, there's the ESPN broadcast, and then there's the MLB Network broadcast.
Oh, was there?
They had both last night.
Okay.
So I was just going back and forth just to listen to what everybody is saying from a national perspective about the Mets, you know? And I forget who the MLB guys are. First of all, it's almost unwatchable because of all the graphics and all the analytics, and the guys, the ex-players that they have doing it are all about the analytics. They're all about the launch angle.
You sure you weren't watching the ESPN StatCast one?
Maybe that's what I was
watching. I think that's what you were watching.
Well, I don't know.
And that's crazy. Yeah, yeah.
It is all over the place. But for those people who don't like that, I mean, I'm sure that that was great for them. But I'm sitting there. I was confused. I was like, all right, they were talking about Francisco Lindor. All right, he's having a great year. But they were saying on that broadcast that because of his hard hit rate and this, that, and that rate and this, that, and the other thing, that he should be, you know, even better than he is. And, you know, he's been victimized by just hitting it at the wrong place.
A lot of hard hit outs.
Yeah.
Yes.
My head was spinning. Mm-hmm. So I had to turn it back to ESPN. And, you know, and that's when Luis Severino decided to melt down.
Yeah, I didn't think he melted down. I thought the play by Lindor, which was a difficult play for sure, that could have ended the inning, it still would have been 1-0. You get the infield single as they rule it for a Rosarena, and then the next pitch you get the home run. I thought Severino was, you know what, you can't keep going up there throwing up zeros and having your offense do nothing. And the Rosarena play in left field
was
a great play and a big deal, too.
They were lucky there was no injury there. But
then the bullpen just, God.
But that this is what, and when you look at the Mets schedule, and they were talking about this again last night, and they were doing like normally what I do. I look like 12 games ahead and okay, let me see. Can we go 9-3? Can we go 8-4? What's it look like? You know, they play down the teams. And now come the A's and the Marlins for six, then the Orioles, then the Padres. They got to go back out west. They got to go play the Padres, Arizona, and Chicago White Sox.
These six games could sink their season. And just from the standpoint of what you said, playing down, if they go, and I'm not saying they will, but if they went 2-4 in this stretch, you know, we keep talking about the Braves, because the Padres right now and the Diamondbacks, if you look, are 3-4 games ahead of them now.
Yeah, I know.
Which is how well they're playing. And all we were talking about last week was this was me saying this is going to be a two-team race for the third wild card with the Braves. And you look up now, the San Francisco Giants are right on their ass, and they are playing really, really well. And the Cardinals haven't exactly disappeared. It's not like it's just a two-team race anymore. You're going to have to fight with the Giants and the Braves for that one spot. And then when you look at the end of the month, you've got good teams coming in. You got to play Baltimore for one specifically, although they've been up and down, still though with the best record in baseball. They have to take care of business in these next six games. And while I know the Mariners series was tough, this is why when I was with Joe last week and he was saying, it's going to be fine. They'll go 5-5 or 6-4. I'm like, well, you better win these games because Seattle's going to be difficult. And then you figure, all right, they get to where they took the last two in Colorado, they win 2 out of 3. You're like, I just get one in Seattle. You go 5-5. Now you reset. And to get their doors blown off the way they did.
You know what? Their last six games of the regular season are Philadelphia and Atlanta.
That's true. Sure.
If the way that they're playing, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
Well,
they don't.
You're right. But
they
then don't.
I mean,
there
I,
have been times where they've played like the best team in the National League.
There was a stretch there where they were. And and now all of a sudden they have morphed back into this malaise, which is really disappointing. And there's the energy thing is not there. And I don't know if it's, where's the energy with Iglesias? Where's the energy with Francisco Alvarez? Where are these guys? What are they doing? Everybody looks at Pete Alonso, and rightfully so, because he's going to want a huge contract. And that's one of the reasons why Pete is getting so much criticism, is because they offered him a contract. He said no. He's got Boris as an agent. And right now, I'd be hard-pressed to say I wouldn't give him more than a year or two.
Boomer, I'm with you. I got beat up last week when I said if I was the Mets, I'd offer him 20.
Who beat you up?
On people calling in about my idea would be at this point because of the way, and his age.
I thought you got beat up outside.
Nothing like that. I wasn't punched in the parking lot by the attendant or anything. The idea of what do you offer him? And then you're talking about the ESPN broadcast last night. You've got, Ravitch and Cone and Eduardo Perez. I like listening to them.
They're fine. Yeah.
But they're talking about Alonso and how teams are going to be lining up to give him this big contract. Who? The only team that comes to mind for me are the San Francisco Giants because they lost out on Judge and they've lost out on other guys too. Wound up with Snell on the cheap. He threw that no-hitter last week too when you were away, which was neat. But if you're a team right now, I know what Alonso has been. You always talk about this. What are you paying the player for? You're paying for projections and what they're going to do. Well, based on this season, what are you giving Pete Alonso? Because while I love the guy and I really would like to see him finish his career here, how could you possibly figure out a way to come up with more than what they offered him already based on this production? Because he can carry a team and he hasn't done it.
The moment that your age starts with a 3 is when you really got to start taking into account the future and injuries and whether or not that they can, continue what they have done in their 20s. This is why Juan Soto is so attractive, because he's still in his 20s. And Pete Alonso is having an off year. He has not been, you want to say he was clutch in a couple games on this
road.
Couple
games, little flashes.
But he's got to be more than that. He's got to be so much more consistent. And, if you sat here and you told me, he was batting 270 and he had 40 home runs and 80 RBIs, I'd say, great. Too many strikeouts, too many big opportunities missed. And they were talking about it last night that there's something off about him, and maybe that was that Statcast broadcast I was reading, watching, because Coney and Eduardo Perez were not saying that.
But right.
I just, it is really, really, really tough to watch when they're losing like this, especially the way that they got drubbed over the weekend in Seattle.
There was nothing, nothing offensively. You're trying to watch that game last night. It's like, we got some guys on base. They had the one inning where Torrens gets the base hit, Lindor gets the base hit, and then you had the Rosarena play. But other than that, there's a whole lot of nothing. And you talk about the energy. You know where energy comes from? Success. When you actually have guys on base and you're doing things, guys are into it, or at least it feels that way. When you are just throwing up zero after zero after zero, it's like it was death watching those games.
Jerry, winning is the deodorant of champions.
That will be April, I believe, in the calendar, which is done.
Good, good.
I like
Boomer
it. Boomer Esiason quote, ready to rock.
I like it.
Winning is the deodorant of champions.
Your July quote on your calendar this year.
Which was what? Which was what?
But the guest podcaster, I believe.
Yeah.
Mr. Lee, about everybody's
That's
dying.
That's August. That's
right.
August.
I'm July.
Oh, you are July.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Long
live America.
Long live America. That's it.
With a golf flag, I believe. That's exactly
long
right.
Long live America, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Long live America.
All right,
that is right.
All right, so we got to get to this.
Well, so there's a lot more. So we don't have a lot of time. There's a lot to get to with Craig. I know what you're going, where you want to go.
Yeah.
So how about we do this?
All right.
Because I think the right way, you got to give this more time than just 3 minutes.
We got to take a break in a couple minutes. Got to give it some air, Jerry.
Let me preview it this way, and then we'll get to it. Because Minko's going to have, right, Mike? Minko's lining up these clips, too.
I'm worried about this, by the way.
I want to play one.
He seems nervous to me.
He is. I want to play.
Why is he so nervous?
Because he hasn't been here since the pandemic. He's been retired.
Is he afraid he's going to get sick?
No. I think he's afraid he's going to screw up because he doesn't know what he's doing anymore.
Oh, it'd be awesome if he screws up.
Well, we had enough of that with Peter Schwartz last week. So,
oh, yeah.
Peter Schwartz is a bit of a mess. Yeah, yes.
Just non-professional or what?
Oh, no, I didn't say that. Eddie, how would you characterize the week with Peter?
The hot mess.
It was a good hot mess? Okay.
A little bit, yes. A little bit of a hot mess.
All right.
Minko will be fine. So here's what I do. Eddie, can you go into, this will set up, I think, more clips to come. Can you go into the WFAN Only folder? And I think it's the
second one. We have an OnlyFans folder?
We do. Not OnlyFans. WFAN
no, you, no
only.
Different. If, no, similar, different but different.
If we had an OnlyFans photo, who would be in it? Nobody.
Of this group?
Keith McPherson and yep. Tiki.
Yeah.
Those two guys. I could see that.
Yeah. Maybe Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle.
You know what?
Thick.
Pat Boyle.
That's possible. Thick thighs.
As long as he doesn't open his mouth, he's fine.
So let me just set it up this way.
Okay.
What? As long as he doesn't open up his mouth?
Yeah. I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
Got it.
The moment he opens his mouth, it's like, oh, God.
The one with Jazz Chisholm. It's a minute long. This is how we're going to set up Minko after the break. So I think it was at this point I texted Craig. I'm going to read you what I texted him.
Oh, you were texting him during the game?
Well, no, yeah, on Sunday. So I was outside listening at this point. I texted Craig. I say, poop your nut. Craig Carton, here we go. All right. I texted Craig. She likes you. She actually likes you. Cannot believe it. You are something else. Ha ha. Well done this weekend. Listen to this. This exchange.
Now, this one is in the morning.
No, I said WFAN only.
Yes.
It's about a minute or so. It says Craig Chaz. I'm sorry, Jazz Chisholm. And this is where Craig said something prior in the game, previously in the game. You got it? All right. Play this minute of Craig and Susan.
Chisholm's been on base twice. He's also struck out twice. I thought looked a little disinterested back in the sixth, but Susan said
don't,
no.
No, don't say that. That's
I could be wrong. I've been wrong many times.
Well, disinterested means he doesn't care, and he cares as much as anybody, maybe even more. Not disinterested.
That's he has had a great start to his Yankee career.
All right, that's my scolding maybe for the day. You're going to be okay after that.
Swing the bat! Oh, he didn't swing the bat. I'll be good. Are you going down for the play of the game?
Right. You can handle this. You're not going to start any trouble.
Take the halibut.
I'm not taking the halibut with me. It'll still be here. Still be here when I get back. Right.
Fair enough. I'll be okay. Chisholm swings right through that pitch. Now it's 1-2. Susan's on her way down to the field, as you know, for the star of the game. Volpe on deck. 1-2 to Chisholm. Two outs here in the bottom of the eighth. High fly ball to deep center field. Back goes Tavares at the wall. Gone! A solo home run for Jazz Chisholm.
For the guy who didn't care.
And the Yankees now lead 8-0. He wasn't disinterested on that one.
Thank you.
There you go.
So that was...
Yeah, that's Craig Carton right there in a nutshell.
You had everything. Yes. You, and that's why I picked that one out. I'm listening to it. You had... The food in the booth.
Yep.
The halibut will be waiting for you. You got Susan scolding him, which was funny. And then you get the home run call two pitches later.
All right. With a thank you by Susan. Let me ask you this. Was she already...
I don't know.
Wireless with... And she's got...
No, because he said she's going to head down for the player of the game.
Oh, okay.
So she either did that or someone here had that ready. But I think that was her.
I agree.
But it sounded like a drop almost.
Here's
thank
the thing
you.
I will say. She's the ultimate professional.
She's phenomenal.
She's the ultimate professional. And the one thing, and I know we're going to talk about this after Minko comes in here, but the one thing I will say is that she talked more during these three games than she has in the previous games with the other announcers in the booth, including John.
Well, it is her booth.
Of course it is. And Craig showed great deference to her understanding of baseball, what goes on in baseball, why they do things. How do you know what pitch is being thrown?
For sure.
That, and she was explaining it to him, which was actually kind of funny because those are things that I think most announcers just take for granted.
I enjoyed the one exchange. Maybe Mink will have it. If not, we'll play it later. The one exchange where a guy got thrown out trying to stretch a single into a double.
Oh, yeah.
And Gray's like, shouldn't be a base hit. And she basically put him right in his place. But why not? You can't go to second until you get to first.
All right, so I heard that too. And when I'm thinking about it, and this is him arguing with me when we had our softball game.
I know.
And he got thrown out at third, but he wanted credit for a double.
But now he doesn't want
it. Now he doesn't want it. He wants the other one. Yes. So
it was funny.
For us, the people that know him and know, we had a little bit of the Cartonisms in there.
Yeah.
But he played it straight.
There's a good balance.
And he tried his damnedest. And there are good people out there I know that don't like it. You know what? You got to get over yourself. And you just got to recognize he did it for three games. He's not trying to become the voice of the Yankees.
Agreed. Agreed.
That's not his job.
I thought it was a different way to listen to a game.
It's just
it was
a different
fun.
Way. It was in the middle of August, and it was against the Rangers, and there was a lot of action. And Susan was an incredible professional, allowing him to do this. And then the byplay between the two of them was, I thought, was good. It was funny, and it was entertaining.
How about the fact that he had to do two games in a row on one day?
That's unbelievable.
The only thing that would have made it better was if we got the day-night doubleheader to where he would have had to have filled in between for 2 hours. Instead, they got the straight doubleheader, which was good enough, and he didn't leave, and that was... And she even said at the beginning, because, you know, this ain't a roller coaster. You can't get off at some stop if you had enough.
Like, yeah, I think overall for Craig... Knowing him, that would be a monotonous job.
There's no way
that he could do that for the entire...
Signed off and he's like, all right, well, Susan, actually, she's on her way to the plane. Like, yeah, they got to go right to Chicago now. Like, you don't get to go home and just have a beer.
That's not him.
Yeah, very difficult.
So, I mean, like, if they said, hey, if Olivero said, hey, we're going to use him for... maybe 6 home games next year or something. I could see that.
Well, that's fine.
That's fine.
162 games?
Just so
no
Yankee
chance.
Fans out there understand, he doesn't want to be the voice of the Yankees.
No, he's got a TV job every morning. He's good.
It was good. No, it was...
It was a nice change of pace.
Hey, for those of us who know him,
It was fun. Yeah. It was fun. I don't think I listened to it 162 times, but it was perfect for a weekend
I thought he did a great job, actually.
It was very well done.
All right, she did a great job.
620 on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We'll take a break. When we come in, it is the return of the Mink Man. We will see if he is a hot mess.
Better not be sweating.
Or if he is... Well, it's nice to see him, though. He looks good. So we will have Minko coming up next. We'll have your calls, too, at some point. 888-808-1019. Michael Rubin will be coming in at 7 o'clock, too. We got Fanatics Fest coming up this weekend. The Fan's going to have a big presence there. So all that and more on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go away.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Hi, nice to have you with us. Bill Ford's up studio on a Monday. In dog beers, we've had 6 of them so far today, so that's kind of cool. We got a lot to get to this morning, including Michael Rubin at 7, Fanatics Fest coming up this weekend. We're going to get to the football, too, because while preseason football is quite boring, and trust me, I worked that Cowboys-Rams game yesterday. Was that brutal. There are some interesting storylines surrounding the NFL, a little news with Malik Nabers, Daniel Jones, so we'll get to that throughout the course of the morning.
You know, it was amazing. In Wisconsin, I ran into Roger Goodell, who was there. Yeah, he was there for an event with a local group. And the next day, I wake up and I turn on the Olympics, and he's he's in Paris talking about flag football becoming an Olympic sport.
Air travel is amazing. Is
like, he was tired. I mean, I was exhausted just watching
him. Hold on a second. Time out. I'm calling BS on this. Because for 15 years, you sat there and did games in Arizona on a Monday night, and you were here at 6 a.m. I mean, in fairness.
Yeah, I know.
So, if anybody understands that grind more than anybody, it's you.
But I wasn't making $45 million a year.
We were doing okay, but I'm saying it was amazing that we would turn on a game. There you were as we're laying down to go to bed, and your game was just starting, and there you were at 6 o'clock the next morning.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it was nuts, but
yes.
you made it work, just like Roger Goodell, who's making, I don't know, $50 million a year to make it work.
Well, he's making $50 million a year because of the cost of these teams, how much these teams now have become worth.
And the TV contracts.
And who do you think has been, and stadiums.
That too.
And political, you know, wrangling, things of those.
You like the Browns wanting a dome?
You know,
Come on, that sucks.
It does suck, but I wish MetLife Stadium were a dome. I really do.
I agree with that. I don't disagree.
But, so, I understand why they want to make it a dome, because they want to be able to use it year-round for everything.
Yeah, I know.
And maybe Billy Joel could do, like, you know, a concert there or two. Maybe, or three or four or five.
And get a Super Bowl there.
Yeah, that's they'll true. Get a Super Bowl there, yeah. Cleveland I don't know if they have. I really don't. The one thing about Cleveland, I don't know about their hotel
They
capacity.
Did a Super Bowl in Jacksonville, Boomer.
You, on boats. On
and
boats.
It was a disaster.
It was awful. I know.
Yeah, I know.
I was a half hour away in a brutal tiny hotel, so I do remember. Anyhow, look who's to your right.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy to see you, Mink.
A WFAN legend. It's funny that you're here. Because I said to Ryan Hurley 2 weeks ago, because I think the final week of August you guys are out again, and so I'll be working all week. I thought maybe, because I see photos of you and Bob Uecker and Harris Allen, and who else? There's one other guy I'm missing. Going to Met games. Who's the fourth? Steve Summers.
And Steve Summers. I told you, it's like we have old-timers day around here all the time. So not that there's anything wrong with being an old-timer. I mean, I'm like right on the cusp of that.
And I thought it would be fun to bring in a legend or two that week. And Minko was going to be one of those, but now he's here today, so we can cross him off the list. We're doing it. Which
legendary.
Is kind of cool.
How does it feel to be described as legendary?
Well, he is.
But I'm just asking him. I'm not asking you.
No, it's...
It's speechless, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Having a hard time finding
you know
those
what?
Words?
Everybody, you know, and through my history here, you know I can't ad-lib. So basically that's it.
Why can't you ad-lib? You can
ad-lib. I never could. I never could. Everybody used to slam me. I mean, I was fired by Imus 5 times.
Did you feel like you were bullied by those people?
Imus
and Mike and everybody.
Imus is basically, in words that he had to me, responsible for me basically being here today and any accolades that I get from anyone.
All right, that's great.
Is it, and I'm not making fun at all because I couldn't find it. I'm wondering if I dreamt it. Did you do a shift on the Imus show in a Speedo?
What was a blueberry?
Yes, you did.
You
were in a Speedo.
I can't find it anywhere because I was having a conversation with someone in the newsroom about
it was more visual than
it was. But why was that? A bet you lost or something, or was it just you trying to be funny?
But I'm not trying to be funny. Yeah, I lost the bet, and I can't tell you what it was.
Oh, fine, fair enough. All right, so I didn't.
You don't remember
that.
What the bet was?
No,
or you
I
just
don't
want to tell us.
I don't remember what.
That's gone 25 years.
That
ago.
Is honest.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's
I mean,
a long time
I mean
ago.
This is what 30 years ago.
Are you going to be here this whole week with us?
No,
I'll be here.
G's back tomorrow.
Right? Yeah, retirement ends.
Want to make a bet right now and that you could lose it and then go put the Speedo back on,
or just go topless?
Yeah,
oh, no Speedo necessary.
You don't want to see that.
All right.
You know what we do? We want to hear what you've got though for this big update.
We're brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, a fresh dog food delivered to your door, and also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's the Yankees that take 2 of 3 from the Rangers over the weekend, but our storyline surrounds Craig Carton and the play-by-play on the Fan alongside Susan Waldman. And I had a chance to listen over the weekend, and I was quite impressed. You know, and I thought, here are my thoughts coming in. A, he did a very good job. 2, he stayed within himself.
stayed within himself too after
he,
A.
Yeah. And he had.
I just got that. Well, yeah, right. Not one, two, A two.
Yeah, all right.
Funny. See, that's my ad libbing ability.
Okay, that's perfect. I got it. I picked it up immediately.
And the other thing is, he's got a couple of things that are working for him even before he says a word on the Yankee broadcast, and that results in a positive. Because first of all, he is a veteran professional announcer, and two, as you'll learn here coming up, he's a veteran talk show host with the ability to handle adversity in a broadcast booth.
The one, if I have one criticism, and I think Jerry and I are on the same page on this one.
Mm-hmm, okay.
It's a fly ball!
Where? Exactly.
Where's the ball gone? That's it. And that, but then that again, that would come to him more naturally the more he did it. More,
I think by game 10, that's gone. And all of a sudden, he's giving you. Because you could tell even from pitch one to the final pitch of the third game, he improved incredibly.
And I have to say, and this is where this is why I tweeted out what I tweeted out on Saturday. I said, look, you know, he knows or knew where everybody was and who everybody was for the most part. He made a couple of mistakes.
Yeah, he called Juan Soto Luis Soho.
Yeah, I know. But that's funny.
Done things
that's
like
actually
that.
That's hilarious.
But it was not trying to be funny. It was in the flow of the play.
Yeah, and which made it even more funny. Soto. He was trying to be serious and he made a mistake.
That was funny.
Like, you know, and then I saw him wearing glasses and all I could think about was how he used to, you know, get after John not being able to see the ball.
It's right. All of a sudden a little different when you're up in that booth, isn't it?
A little different, yes. But, you know, he opens himself to criticism, which I appreciate, which takes a lot of guts to do.
And the thing about, you know, fly ball here, he kept it simple because I think, you know, after having sat in the chair for basketball and football for the most part, when you try and do too much.
Can't call everything.
And you don't have experience in what you're trying to do, I think you make it worse.
Right, you're exactly right. You know, and he would have made a great lecturer, John Minko.
Yeah,
for the Jerry Recco School of Broadcast.
He did.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
Long time ago. I drove down there.
That's great.
This is actually kind of funny.
Uh-oh.
So Mink was my first or second guest speaker. The night prior, we got robbed. So I walk in. Remember this?
I do. That I remember.
We were set up. We were doing test runs. Everything was great. Ray Martell was like my engineer. He wired the whole place. Everything was good. We tested all the online streaming. Couldn't have been better. Grand opening the first night, where it was Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mink, I think it might have been my first speaker, I think. I show up there. The paper was coming at 5. I show up there at like 3:30. I open the door. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I thought I locked it, and the lock was broken.
Oh, wow.
I walk in. I'm like, what looks different? And then it hit me. Everything's gone. Like, all the computers were gone. So I have to call the police. The police come. Minko walks in. The cops are in the building. Clearly, there's an issue. And he goes, what time are we starting? Mink, I got classes. 6 cops here and I've been robbed. I don't know when we're starting. How about Thursday?
How about classes canceled
yes,
for the day?
Yes, class was canceled and we had a delay in a couple of weeks to get more equipment. But yes,
That sounds to me like a Ray Martell inside job.
You know what it was? So this is in Chatham. The cops were they knew exactly what it was. Because of where the train station was, if you didn't have an alarm, and this is the thing that killed me, the alarm was going in. I had the appointment set for like a week or 10 days after we were starting. I had it all set up. He said if you don't have an alarm, the people jump off the train, they case the places to see what buildings don't have alarms. They know they can get in and out and time it with the trains. He goes, this was easy for them because they saw the computers from outside the window. They knew you didn't have an alarm set up. They timed it, got in, got out. They had no idea. Made sense. So
you learned a valuable lesson, man. The alarm goes in first.
ADT, I'm not. When I tell you, Boomer, I was like 6 or 7 days away from that appointment. Mm. Never thought I'd have an issue like that, and we did. And Minko was the first speaker, although not that night.
Figure this: when the Yankees hit home runs, and I know you can sit there and say that's the Yankee offense is built on home runs.
Yeah, 100%.
They call them the Bronx Bombers and for a reason. And when they're hitting home runs, they are in pretty good shape to win. And hey, a lot of home runs yesterday. Craig had a field day with the home runs. 8-7 Yankee win. Juan Soto, a couple of solo shots. Aaron Judge, home run 42 on the year. And Giancarlo Stanton had a three-run home run.
Stanton, a line drive to left, deep to the wall. God! A three-run home run by Giancarlo Stanton.
That first of all, number one, I actually love Bruce Bochy. I think that was right after they walked Judge.
Yeah.
So stick it right on the ball. So that was kind of cool that now you got Stanton behind them. Maybe you're going to start rethinking intentionally walking Aaron Judge, too. That swing and that pitch is ludicrous. That is a great pitch that he somehow flicks the bat out on the outside part of the plate. And he's so strong. That boy, like 20 feet off the ground. So pretty impressive. So nice call there by Craig as well.
Yep, and excellent. You hear a little bit of Susan right in the middle with a little bit of a reaction. And the other thing is a tremendous mix by the engineer. You hear the bat crack.
We're really going deep, huh?
We're going deep.
Yeah. You know, that's what you get from me.
Okay, deep. And we're in the weeds.
Adversity. In the broadcast booth, I mentioned that. Well, Craig had some of that.
That's coming right back towards us, Susan. Maybe we'll make the play. Oh, bounce right in front of us. And
right in the Delta section.
You dropped it? Somebody dropped it.
The only time anybody came back here was when they hit John in the head.
I remember. There are people rooting for that to happen to me today. His name is Norman Julius Esiason.
Yes, he is so right.
That is true. And many others, by the way.
Right, exactly.
You're just the most famous one.
Adversity in the broadcast booth. The Yanks and White Sox tonight in Chicago. Yanks and Orioles atop the American League East. And how about the pressure for the Yankees playing a Chicago White Sox team that basically resembles
they
a double-A team.
Horrendous.
That might be the worst baseball team I've ever seen.
Pressure? What are you talking
just
about
go beat
pressure?
Them.
You have the Yankees have a $300 million payroll, and you're talking about pressure?
They're 28-91. Just go beat
they
them.
They can't.
Go
that's right.
You,
no, I agree
ass.
With you. You've got to win the game.
Well, everyone's winning the games against
them.
Hey,
John. Well, John, just like you're finding out this morning, pressure is a privilege.
Hello?
Hello?
Peter?
I am feeling pressure.
But you're doing a good job, so keep it going. Let's go. Let's ramp it up.
Hey, hard to win when you don't score, and right now, the Mets over the weekend, basically, other than a Jeff McNeil solo home run in the sixth inning, did not score. They were shut out the first two games. You all right over there?
Yeah, didn't Sal Licata say something about the whole wild card race being over or something?
Yeah, he joked about that, correct.
Like 5 minutes before Kodai Senga got hurt.
Yep.
And right, then, since that time.
And then he got slammed.
Remember, we had the Grimace. We had Oh My God with Candelita, right? And what else did we have? We had Francisco Alvarez coming back.
The rally pimp. List.
We had the rally pimp. And the Mets really started playing well. And then all of a sudden, Sal got himself involved.
Yeah, they won that night.
Frank Fleming went off on him.
Yes.
But I remember then they had a nice kumbaya moment. They figured it all out. But let's face it. From that time on,
I think they're probably more 500 than you think. I don't think it's been bad. I don't think it's been great. I don't think it's been bad since that point. I'm going to pull it up real quick.
You don't
quick.
Think it's been bad? What about this weekend, John Minkow?
This weekend was
Seattle.
Awful. I agree with you.
They lose all three games. They score.
Right.
They're only a half game from the wild card. Right. How can Sal say it's over?
No, he was saying that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So since
they're
that
7-9 since he said what he said. But he was saying it that the Mets had clinched the wild card, that it was over.
Oh, you can't say that.
That's the point.
You just can't.
Right, so 7-9 is not great, but it also isn't falling off the cliff. The problem is there are series in there they should have done better in, and they didn't. And now you've got the A's. Go, much like the Yankees, go beat the A's. The A's aren't the White Sox, I give you that. But you got the A's coming in, sweep a damn series. How about that, Mink?
I agree with you.
What else?
Are you saying that there's pressure on the Mets to make sure that they sweep the series?
I think there's more pressure on the Mets than there is the Yankees.
You know, pressure is a privilege, you know.
This is what I've been told.
Yes, it is.
And the Mets had that privilege here in the next series against the A's.
Well, especially coming home in front of a home crowd who is not going to be very happy and going to be a little bit unsettled. Like, I felt like that way yesterday for Clay Holmes. Because after, you know, I watched the last two innings on TV, and you could feel it. Like, when all of a sudden he's afraid to throw a strike.
Felt like it was unraveling.
You know why? Because I don't think he has the confidence to throw a strike and get it past somebody. He's trying to get people to chase.
He's a pitch-to-contact guy, too, honestly.
Pitch-to-contact guy.
He is, which is fine.
But
you got to throw strikes. Anything else?
Yeah, but if you're going to pitch the contact, you got to throw strikes.
That does help, correct.
And the Giants expect Daniel Jones to play in their second preseason game against the Texans.
The Giants. Daniel Jones.
Did you say Andrew Jones or Daniel?
Daniel.
It sounded like Andrew to me.
I heard Daniel.
I heard Andrew.
Yeah, well, maybe. I thought it was Daniel, but could have been Andrew.
And the Olympics ended yesterday.
Yeah, no kidding.
You didn't pay much attention to it?
Yeah, I saw Tom Cruise come down from the top of the stadium, you know, and then they sent the flag to L.A. because in 4 years, as you know, the Summer Olympics will be in L.A. I'm a big Olympic guy. I love the Olympics.
Oh, absolutely.
After the opening ceremony this year was idiotic. But other than that, I love that Noah Lyles went in the 100 meter. That was amazing.
Amazing.
That was one of the best races I've ever seen.
And one of the best basketball games I've ever seen was the gold medal game against France for the men.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, from an execution standpoint, from an emotional standpoint.
Emotional.
With Curry and the other. And France and their reactions.
Were really emotional. They got to sit and watch the whole thing.
To me, I watched the whole thing, and it just impressed me to the point that to those players,
you are brought to tears.
It matters.
Of course it does. And it should
matter.
It matters
big time.
But you want to know who it really matters to is Brittany Griner. If you watch her listening to the national anthem, standing there with tears in her eyes after spending, you know, 6 months in or however long it was in a cage in Russia, you know, she really, truly appreciated standing there representing this country. And it was you know, she had a life-changing moment. And you could see the emotion on her face. Which I thought was, that's what the Olympics are about. That's, you know, all these people, not so much the basketball players and the pro basketball players, but almost every other sport. Those people are spending an entire lifetime to get to that point, to get that gold medal, whatever the sport is. And now it sounds like Katie Ledecky is going to swim in L.A. 4 years from now.
Very nice. And she's go win more gold medals.
She's amazing.
I'm going to take a break. When we come back, your calls, 888-808-1019. More on Craig, more on the Mets, and some football as well. It is the Boomer and Geo program on The Fan and CBS Sports Network.
One down, Mike. Great job.
And three to go.
Yes, all right.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, nice to have you with us. It is the Boomer and Geo program, fans, CBS Sports Network. Geo will be back tomorrow. It is amazing. Like, your trip, I'm sure you had a plan. You said you had to get the tee times far in advance. It always fascinates me when you spend so much time planning and planning and planning, and that week just comes and goes. Like, I feel like Geo was talking about Italy, you know, 8-9 months ago, and then here we are. And I will say this real quick.
Okay,
real quick.
Say, go ahead.
He is lucky.
Why?
That this year he went to Italy. And not Fire Island.
Why is that?
You have any idea what our weather was like last week?
Oh, yeah, no, it was bad. It was remnants of Debbie, right?
It was abysmal. You couldn't get out of your house Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I mean, we did squeeze golf in Friday because by me there was like a window, but it was even Friday, while we were able to get out, it was cloudy. At one point, me and my son had to take the cart under a tree because there was a monsoon that rolled through for about a half hour. They didn't clear up. Then it was cloudy and windy again, and then it was miserable Friday night. If this would have been his week in Fire Island, it would have been a disaster.
It would have been a disaster.
I will
say, for us, out in, I think it's Kenosha, Wisconsin, I think it is, at Sand Valley, it was gorgeous. Every day was about 78 degrees and sunny. And our last day when we played in the morning, I think it was 58 degrees when we teed off.
Was it like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. And we teed off. It was like 58 degrees. It was perfect hangover weather.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
So that's the last thing is you want, you know, because, you know, we won. We had the champions dinner the night before. A lot of wine being served. And you end up paying a price the next morning. But at the end of the day, it was unbelievable. And I couldn't I couldn't have been happier.
That's also good weather to fool you into wanting to live there. Because you're like, this is amazing. And then you go back in January. Not so amazing.
I did ask Derek, the pro there, you know, what's it like here in the wintertime? Because this is mainly families. That, you know, they do have trails you could bike on. You can hike and
sure
stuff
it's
like that. And it is a great place. But, I could see a summer house there.
Sure.
Definitely.
As long as
especially
you can get
if
there.
You love golf.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah. Anyway, but it is amazing that that week has kind of come and gone, and that's kind of where we're at. We have Michael Rubin coming in a couple of minutes to talk about Fanatics Fest, which I know this weekend, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got shows wall to wall there.
Yeah,
weekend.
starting Friday with BT and Sal,
yep.
And then Evan and Tiki will be there Friday, and then all weekend we're going to be there. You know, I was looking at their guest list. It is a who's who in today's world of sports. It's amazing. And one of the first guys I see on the top of the list is Tom Brady. And I'm thinking, you know, Tom Brady, I think September 8th is going to be his first broadcast. That's going to be interesting.
So there was a little bit of confusion yesterday because Brady was at SoFi Stadium. And I guess it was NFL Media that posted... It was misleading. I don't think what they were trying to do was telling people that Brady was doing his first game. I think it was just kind of like the countdown is on.
Yeah, but
meaning
so
what you're
probably,
talking about.
Yeah, so he was probably there practicing.
Perhaps.
But not on air.
Right. And because, I guess NFL fans thought he was going to be doing the Cowboy-Ram game, which he wasn't.
Yeah, it was Mika Kimes, right? And it was Andrew Whitworth. With Andrew Siciliani.
Oh, I have no idea.
I was watching part of this game too, and it was interesting because you know, it's a preseason game, mm-hmm. and during preseason games, you want to see players do things that you don't know if they can do.
Okay.
Meaning, like, I know Trey Lance can run with the ball.
Right,
I know it. I don't need Trey Lance to show me that he can run.
You
want
to see him throw the ball down the field?
What I need to see him show me is whether or not he can complete a pass and throw a ball in bounds. And
very mixed.
The only reason I say this is because there was a fourth and goal, and you know they throw the ball, and what does Trey Lance do? He throws it out of bounds. Doesn't even give his receiver a chance. And was it Mina Kimes? He goes, well, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't run it there. And I'm like, well, because they know they can run it.
Right.
These preseason games, as we have found out, not all the players and coaches and even the officials know all the rules with the new kickoff rules and everything, which is going to be a fiasco, I'm telling
it's
you.
It's not only
long.
That. It's also the laser chains. Like, there's so many different things that have the broadcasters and the players confused.
Well, and it's going to take a while for all of us as the viewers
for sure.
to get used to it. But, again, you know, Trey Lance just looks like he's... Oof. I thought mixed.
I thought yesterday there were some good throws, but I do agree he missed way too many.
I'm not saying he's not getting a lot of time either. He's not getting a lot of first-teamer time. So now is the time to show that maybe you do belong. And here's why I love Tommy DeVito. Because on Thursday night, raining, pouring, the whole thing, the kid comes onto the field, the place goes crazy, and this is what Brian Daboll is talking about. He's talking about energy coming from the quarterback position. I'm not saying that Danny DeVito should be, or Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito? Tommy you just DeVito. Did an Andrew.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
Tommy
Andrew
DeVito
Jones.
Shouldn't be the starting quarterback. All I'm saying is that energy that he brings to the field is palatable. You could feel it.
So something I want to get to when we do the football conversation at some point this morning, and that is, what do the Giants, I ask you now, actually, because I talked with Willie about this last week. I agree with everything you just said, and I think he has made his case last year when he did get to play. I don't know that he's a starting quarterback in this league, but what I do know is he can come in and play the quarterback position and give you a chance. So if that's the case, and you've got Drew Lock on a guaranteed contract, if he ended up on the practice squad, isn't it conceivable that in a quarterback-starved league that some team would pick him off to be their backup quarterback?
They could. Now, remember, you know, these are second and third team players. He's had the experience from last year.
But he
obviously
last year.
Looks really comfortable on the field, even in these preseason games. But this is what Joe Buck was talking about last year when he had the conversation with Brian Daboll before they did their Monday night game. And that was, Brian Dable's tired of being the energy bunny. Like, he has to be the leader and he has to be demanding and he has to command the room, all of that stuff. But ultimately, you still need that quarterback to be your alpha male, much like Brady or Manning or any of those guys. And I think Daniel Jones may have become that with that fight in practice against the Lions. Maybe that's part of the new Daniel Jones. I don't know. I can't wait to talk to him and see what he's doing, see how he's feeling. But there is no question that Tommy DeVito brings an energy to that team, even though that was in a first preseason game and everybody was basically playing what I felt like was very, very basic football.
Yep, very much so.
So I agree with you. I think the kid deserves to be here and stay here. And, you know, it also could become a distraction if you think about it.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, nice to have you with us. It is the Boomer and Geo program, fan, CBS Sports Network. Geo will be back tomorrow. It is amazing. Like, your trip, I'm sure you had a plan. You said you had to get the tee times far in advance. It always fascinates me when you spend so much time planning and planning and planning, and that week just comes and goes. Like, I feel like Geo was talking about Italy, you know, 8-9 months ago, and then here we are. And I will say this real quick.
Okay,
real quick.
Say, go ahead.
He is lucky.
Why?
That this year he went to Italy and not Fire Island.
Why is that?
You have any idea what our weather was like last week?
Oh, yeah, no, it was bad. It was bad. Remnants of Debbie, right?
It was abysmal. You couldn't get out of your house Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I mean, we did squeeze golf in Friday because by me there was like a window, but it was even Friday, while we were able to get out, it was cloudy. At one point, me and my son had to take the cart under a tree because there was a monsoon that rolled through for about a half hour. Then it didn't clear up. Then it was cloudy and windy again, and then it was miserable Friday night. If this would have been his week in Fire Island, it would have been a disaster.
It would have been a disaster.
I will say
for us out in, I think it's Kenosha, Wisconsin, I think it is, at Sand Valley, it was gorgeous. Every day was about 78 degrees and sunny. And our last day when we played in the morning, I think it was 58 degrees when we teed off.
Was it probably like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. And we teed off, it was like 58 degrees. It was perfect hangover weather.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
So the last thing is you want, you know, because, you know, we won. We had the champions dinner the night before. A lot of wine being served. And you end up paying a price the next morning. But at the end of the day, it was unbelievable. And I couldn't have been happier.
That's also good weather to fool you into wanting to live there. Because you're like, this is amazing. And then you go back in January. Not so amazing.
I did ask Derek, the pro there, you know, what's it like here in the wintertime? Because this mainly families, you know, they do have trails you could bike on, and you can hike and
sure
stuff
it's beautiful.
Like that. And it is a great place. But I could see a summer house there.
Sure.
Definitely.
As long as
especially
you can get
if
there.
You love golf.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah. Anyway, but it is amazing that that week has kind of come and gone, and that's kind of where we're at. We have Michael Rubin coming in a couple of minutes to talk about Fanatics Fest, which I know this weekend, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've got shows wall to wall there.
Starting Friday with BT and Sal,
yep.
And then Evan and Tiki will be there Friday, and then all weekend we're going to be there. You know, I was looking at their guest list. It is a who's who in today's world of sports. It's amazing. And one of the first guys I see on the top of the list is Tom Brady. And I'm thinking, you know, Tom Brady, I think September 8th is going to be his first broadcast. That's going to be interesting.
So there was a little bit of confusion yesterday because Brady was at SoFi Stadium. And I guess it was NFL Media that posted it was misleading. I don't think what they were trying to do was telling people that Brady was doing his first game. I think it was just kind of like the countdown is on.
Yeah, but
meaning
so
what you're
probably,
talking about.
Yeah, so he was probably there practicing.
Perhaps.
But not on air.
Right. And because, I guess NFL fans thought he was going to be doing the Cowboy-Ram game, which he wasn't.
Yeah, you know, which, so it was Micah Kimes, right? And it was Andrew Whitworth. With Andrew Siciliani.
Oh, I have no idea.
I was watching part of this game too, and it was interesting because you know, it's a preseason game, mm-hmm. and during preseason games, you want to see players do things that you don't know if they can do. Okay. Meaning, like, I know Trey Lance can run with the ball.
Right,
I know it. I don't need Trey Lance to show me that he can run with the ball.
You want to see him throw the ball down the field?
What I need to see him show me is whether or not he can complete a pass and throw a ball in bounds. And
very mixed.
The only reason I say this is because it was a fourth and goal, and you know they throw the ball, and what does Trey Lance do? He throws it out of bounds. Doesn't even give his receiver a chance. And was it Mina Kimes? He goes, so, you know, I don't know why they wouldn't run it there. And I'm like, well, because they know they can run it.
Right.
These preseason games, as we have found out, not all the players and coaches and even the officials know all the rules with the new kickoff rules and everything, which is going to be a fiasco, I'm telling
you. It's not only that. It's also the laser chains. Like, there's so many different things that have the broadcasters and the players confused.
Well, and it's going to take a while for all of us as the viewers
for sure.
to get used to it. But, again, you know, Trey Lance just looks like he's... Oof. I mean,
I thought mixed. I thought yesterday there were some good throws, but I do agree he missed way too many.
He's not getting a lot of time either. He's not getting a lot of first teamer time. So now is the time to show that maybe you do belong. And here's why I love Tommy DeVito. Because on Thursday night, raining, pouring, the whole thing, the kid comes onto the field, the place goes crazy. And this is what Brian Daboll is talking about. He's talking about energy coming from the quarterback position. I'm not saying that Danny DeVito should be, or Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito? Tommy you just DeVito. Did an Andrew.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Tommy Andrew DeVito Jones. Shouldn't be the starting quarterback. All I'm saying is that that energy that he brings to the field is palatable. You could feel it.
So something I want to get to when we do the football conversation at some point this morning, and that is what do the Giants, I ask you now, actually, because I talked with Willie about this last week. I agree with everything you just said, and I think he has made his case last year when he did get to play. I don't know that he's a starting quarterback in this league, but what I do know is he can come in and play the quarterback position and give you a chance. So if that's the case, and you've got Drew Locke on a guaranteed contract,
yeah.
If he ended up on the practice squad, isn't it conceivable that in a quarterback starved league that some team would pick him off to be their backup quarterback?
They could. Now, remember, you know, these are second and third team players. He's had the experience from last year.
But he did
obviously
last year.
Looks really comfortable on the field, even in these preseason games. But this is what Joe Buck was talking about last year when he had the conversation with Brian Daboll before they did their Monday night game. And that was, Brian Daboll's tired of being the energy bunny. Like, he has to be the leader and he has to be demanding and he has to command the room, all of that stuff. But ultimately, you still need that quarterback to be your alpha male, much like Brady or Manning or any of those guys. And I think Daniel Jones may have become that with that fight in practice against the Lions. Maybe that's part of the new Daniel Jones. I don't know. I can't wait to talk to him and see what he's doing, see how he's feeling. But there is no question that Tommy DeVito brings an energy to that team, even though that was in a first preseason game and everybody was basically playing what I felt like was very, very basic football.
Yep, very much so.
I agree with you. I think the kid deserves to be here and stay here. And, you know, it also could become a distraction if you think about it.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.